Good morning, my friend, Tom Weeble, in your backyard. A longtime friend joins me again this morning with several topics to report on. As many of you know, Warren Motz created, still directs, his military museum in Groveport. About 37 years now, including some of that when it was still in his basement. And, of course, the museum carries his name. So with that observation and the background there, and talking about expanding, that will come along. So welcome back to you, Mr. Motz. And you had a military title at one time. Were you in the reserves?
Yes, sir. It was nice to be with you too, Tom. I appreciate that. I was a sergeant in the military. I was a photographer from 1959 to 1968.
Okay.
And I was the head of the photography for the 37th Infantry Division of High National Guard.
Not to mention other leadership roles, which we'll try to get into. This gentleman has been internationally recognized for his photography work, had his own operation. In fact, I think you were still doing that full-time when we first got together on public radio, and you talked about...
I think that's right.
Taking better pictures. That was the basics, and then we eased in as you made things happen with this wonderful museum. And you are now, you say, loaning some of your stuff to other places?
Well, yes. Right now, I have things in five different museums around the country. As a matter of fact, we got a great deal of our stuff in the National Veteran Memorial Museum in downtown Columbus. They borrowed a bunch of my things, which are in there right now, for 5 years. And I've got stuff in a museum in Wisconsin on the Civil War. I got an embalming pump, which is in the Funeral Directors Museum in Houston, Texas. They borrowed it. They thought it was neat and never seen one. So,
my gosh.
And I got a couple of things in a museum in Gettysburg as well. So we've got some pretty rare things here.
My goodness. Now, later on, we are going to deal with a couple of other things, including a new book just recently published, and it has to do with the American Freedom Train. Younger folks may not really realize what that was, and we'll explain the details. It was an historical sort of thing to celebrate 1976. And so this is what we have in store. So we better get hustling here, Mr. Motz. Well, in that busy month, let's start with Gettysburg. First of all, your son, Wayne Motz, is very active at Gettysburg, running a museum. He's one of the most requested guides. He has that same excitement and energy as his father. So tell us first a little about your son.
All right. Well, Wayne, when Wayne was a little kid, I used to take him to Gettysburg. I did a photographic recreation of the Battle of Gettysburg. And in the process, I was going back and forth to Gettysburg, and I was taking Wayne with me. When he was a year old, I started dragging him on the battlefield. Then I started buying him books when he got a little older, and then I got him with the battlefield guides to Gettysburg. He actually, at 15 years old, he gave a lecture to the Masters of History at Ohio State University.
Wow.
And then he finally graduated from Ohio State, told me he was going to be a battlefield guide. He went to Gettysburg, took the test. Some had flunked it five times. One was a PhD, and my son passed it. He is one of the youngest battlefield guides at Gettysburg.
And
been out there 37 years.
One of the most energetic. You ask folks who took a tour with your son, and it's never dull.
Yeah. The interesting part is that he had to put his license in escrow now. In other words, he can't give tours now because he is the CEO of the Gettysburg Foundation. He is running all of Gettysburg.
Oh, my gosh.
So, but the guys are still there, and they're doing a great job. But he had to hold off on that because his job requires him to be fully involved with the running of the operation of the Gettysburg Foundation. So it's a big deal. It really is. He's had three different jobs with three different big museums, and then he just got this job the first of this year to be the head of the Gettysburg Foundation.
Okay, so then he no longer then runs the museum itself?
Yeah, he is actually involved with the museum itself, which is at the Gettysburg Battlefield. He has to work with the battlefield, with the National Park Service, who actually runs the park. So it gets a little difficult when you've got a government agency involved. So he has to work with them with everything that's going on. And right now, when I was out there, let's see, 2 weeks ago, they were repaving the roads on the Union side, and they would actually shut down parts of the battlefield in order to repave these roads. They got them pretty much done now, but they've been working more than a year on restoring the Little Round Top area, and you still can't get on that right now, and that's not supposed to open till next year sometime, hopefully the first of the year. But they're redoing that whole area to increase the parking and to make it more safer for the pedestrians too. So it's a big deal, but he has to coordinate everything, and he is the one that's running the museum itself. So it's a big project, and he's given lectures all over the country. I have a hard time getting together with him when I get out there.
Well, what else did you just kind of look around at everything in the time you had? Besides working with your son,
the museum is fabulous. They've got a lot of really neat stuff in it. It's a big museum, and they've got a lot of. And the cyclorama is also in there, which is there's only two cycloramas in this country. One of them is in Atlanta, Georgia, and the other one is at Gettysburg. And they just restored it and put it in there. They just built this building that Wayne is now in and moved away from the. It used to be up by the cemetery. And they moved it all out of there and brought that whole area back the way it looked during the battle, because that was almost in the middle of Pickett's charge. Mm-hmm. So they moved it away a little bit south of the main battlefield, which is great. And they got more room, and then they restored that cyclorama painting. Cost millions to do it, but it's now in there, and it's a great thing to see. Morgan Friedman is the guy who does the narration to it. So it would be a great thing if they get out there. And they need to get a guide if they go there, because the guides are the smartest people I've ever met.
Oh, wow. Now, that, you know, there's something else that folks may not remember to see, and that's the Eisenhower retirement property.
Yeah, that's true. And Tom, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, Eisenhower was the president of the United States. He was a five-star general. He was in charge of the invasion of Normandy, and he actually trained on the battlefield in World War One as a tank guy. Most people didn't know that, but that's where he found out about Gettysburg and how he decided to come back to Gettysburg and live. And he lived on a farm which is just south of the battlefield. And you can take tours through it now, because it has been turned over to the park. And that's another one of the things that Wayne's running, which is the Eisenhower home. And it was left basically like it was, because President Eisenhower died first, and then Mamie died. And when Mamie died, they left everything just like it was. Even the writing on the blackboard where she was ordering stuff from the grocery store.
And there's still local stories about Ike would stroll down to the hardware store once in a while, and folks never forgot that as he suddenly appeared. We're going to take a quick break here with Warren Motz, oversees that wonderful military museum in Groveport. It's been established quite a while, and looking to expand, that's for sure. We might follow up on that. Good to have you with us, and we appreciate our good folks from Mosier's Market. So, with Warren Motz here on the program, I'm Tom, and it's always great to have what has become a great friend over the years. Warren was first with me as an advisor on how to take better pictures. Can you imagine doing that on radio? And it seemed to work. And
yeah, we've known each other a long time, Tom. And we've talked about everything from photography to history.
Yes. So we are going to get to this wonderful book on the Freedom Train and remind you what it was all about. That'll be in a few minutes. But then from Gettysburg the other day, you went on to New York City, and what was the purpose of that visit, Warren?
Well, I've been thinking about this, but never took the time to do this. We have a fire truck that was recovered from Ground Zero during the 9/11 attack, and it came from the Fort Pitt Fire Station in Lower Manhattan. And I went this past weekend back to get it, to New York, and went to the firehouse and met the people that were there. Unfortunately, none of the ones who were there during 9/11 are still active and working. It's a whole bunch of new people. But it was neat to be able to see that firehouse and realize that that's the Fort Pitt Fire Station, is where the engine, which we actually have here at the museum, that was recovered from Ground Zero.
And by the way, if you've never seen it, prepare yourself. It took a lot of weight, shall we say, right?
It took what?
It had a lot of junk fall on it, in other words.
Oh, yes. It was parked under a walkway when the building collapsed, but it smashed it down pretty good, except for the cab itself, because of the walkway that it was. And it went right down into the basement of the North Tower. If they get on right now, if you can get on Ladder 18's website, and you can actually see that Fort Pitt fire truck being brought out of the wreckage. NBC News just happened to be there to film it, and it's on their website. So it's kind of a neat thing to see that actual, which is our truck, which we've got, being pulled out of the wreckage.
Do you know the details of that website?
It's Ladder 18, Fort Pitt Fire Station, New York City Fire Department. Joe.
Okay, might be worth it. And then, and I want to thank you publicly a couple of times a year. Warren allows me to place some flowers right on one of the door handles, remembering a couple of extended family members whose lives were taken there. And I appreciate that opportunity.
Well, that was neat. And I get lots of comments about what are the flowers on the fire truck. And I talk about when we brought that truck in, Tom, you were there and you waited 6.5 hours till they got that fire truck in the building. And then you come up to me with the flowers and wanted to put it on there. And I said, yes, absolutely. And now when we have 9/11 ceremonies, you generally bring another group of flowers to put on there. So we appreciate that, because we don't want these people forgotten. That's the big thing. That's why I wanted the truck, too.
You're eventually going to enclose that in a new section, and you have a lot of other materials that people may not know about from 9/11.
Oh boy, yeah. Every September the 11th, we have a ceremony. I just met this morning with the Madison Township Fire Department, and they're the ones who put the ceremony together, and we just host it. But we have people coming to the museum that were in New York during the attack, a couple of firefighters. We got some other people who are coming. One's coming from Florida, another one coming from out west, and they're coming to meet here on September the 11th for the ceremony, which will be about 9/11, and it will be an interesting thing. But yeah, and I've gotten lots of things that they have given me, that different firemen have given me. As a matter of fact, when I was at the Fort Pitt Fire Station, I asked the one guy, I said, I need a bunker jacket, an outfit. You got one? Well, we tried before and never got anywhere. And about 10 minutes later, the guy come up and handed me the jacket.
No kidding.
So Dominic, my friend in New York, just shipped it to me because they gave it to us at that point. But yes, I got an American flag that covered the bodies. I got a Stokes basket that was what they removed the dead from Ground Zero on. And I've got actually two police cars also. I've got a piece of the antenna, a 19-foot section of the antenna off the North Tower. Got a piece of the stairway. And some other things that we've gotten, and then we've gotten other things, like I say, from the firemen as time progresses.
Okay, and all of those may not be on display, but they will be sometime in the future, and that's another expansion plan, as things just always keep moving along.
The expansion part of it is something we're really into here right now, because I'm trying to figure out how we're going to do all this. I decided, like you said, I just wrote a book on the Freedom Train, but we have reunions, and one of the little guys told me if I had some money, he said, you told me if you had money, you'd build another section to put the Freedom Train stuff in. I said, well, yeah. Well, then he wrote me a check for $48,000 and handed it to me. I said, this isn't enough. He says, I got more. So, well, I didn't want to start another building project. So I thought, okay, we'll build the Freedom Train thing. And then my little gal, Annie, who works here, Gillen, she's a helicopter gal, and she's also the head of Next Jets Repair at the Executive Jets. She works on aircraft, and she's smart as gal. She said, you need an educational facility. a place for people to put programs on. So say, okay, we'll stick that in there. And then I have in storage the second largest collection of Holocaust items in the United States, sixth in the world. And I thought, we'll just build a thing to put that in. So that is all what we're working on now, then the 9/11 building. So, yeah, we got an expansion project going. But it's going to cost a lot of money. So that's what we're working on to see, if, in fact, if we can get the dollars to do it.
Well, if anybody's listening and you really believe in this, let him know, and he'd be happy to involve you in whatever way. And volunteers alone are always welcome there, too, that we should mention.
Yeah, we got 70 volunteers that work here right now that do everything, mow the grass, and they're getting ready to paint one of the aircraft out here. As a matter of fact, they've sanded it, but we're going to get the Madison Township Fire Department has agreed to paint it because my guys are all old. They can't climb around on an airplane like they used to.
Oh, by the way, I want to mention, folks, if you attend significant parades involving military or special dates, you're quite likely to see this gentleman driving a Jeep with the help of some others. So that's another thing, still another thing that you take part in.
Well, yeah, we're in several Upper Arlington's parade, Worthington's parade. We're going to be in a Sweet Corn Festival parade coming up here shortly in Millersport. And we take some of our equipment there. It gets difficult moving everything because this stuff's old. And I got one guy, Bob Burns, who's my mechanic. He does a great job keeping things running. And that's a big part because we're talking World War II stuff here in Korea and Vietnam. So it takes something to keep everything running, which will be here at the museum on 9/11. The next one then would be, we got a car show coming up. It was named after my dear wife, Daisy, who passed away of cancer. Mm-hmm. And the iHeartRadio sponsors the car show, and it's on the 16th. And it's a neat thing because they pay for everything, the trophies and all that, and give all the money for the 9/11 building project. So that's coming up on the 16th. I'm looking here to see the Sweet Corn Festival. I'm trying to see when that is here.
Take your time. I hadn't forewarned him on this, so we'll work our way. I just want folks to know how they can see what you're up to.
That
helps.
They can come anytime. I actually end up showing the fire truck on Thursdays at 10 o'clock in the morning, but if I get large groups here or a lot of people in the building, I'll take them out and open up the building and show them the fire truck. And I just had any time a fireman comes, I will take them back there myself. And I had a Columbus Fire guy coming yesterday, and I took him and his family out there and showed it. It's a pretty overwhelming thing when you see it.
Yeah.
Because it is smashed, and it's pretty impressive. And any fireman looks at that and says, wow, you know, that's a pretty powerful thing when you see what it looks like. So.
Yeah, there's usually sort of a silence there as people just kind of take it all in, and it's definitely like a memorial. We're going to take a quick break again for our good sponsor here, and then we're going to switch one more time, and we'll explain it all in just a moment.